Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. I am here in cloudy New Jersey with my friend and co-podcaster, JJ Sefton. JJ, how are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I'm not going to get into too many things, but it is sunny here. The blizzard that hit Wisconsin and the Midwest pretty hard is over now, and we're going to probably get into the 50s maybe later today or tomorrow, and the snow is generally melting. It's clear, bright, and sunny, and so and spring is one day away, I think, as we record here on a Thursday. So there you
Yeah,
go.
it does look it. I was in Philadelphia a couple of days ago, and Philadelphia, first of all, folks, Philadelphia is a shithole. Second of all, the center city has enough buildings, tall buildings, and narrow streets that the wind just cuts through you as you walk. And it was in the mid-30s or maybe even high-30s, but there was no sun, even though it was a beautiful day. And I felt like I was in the goddamned Arctic. It was awful. Anyway, Philadelphia, it really is a miserable place. Although I had fantastic falafel, so from Goldie's. So if you're in Philadelphia, go to Goldie's for falafel.
Well, there
Anyway,
you
speaking of
go.
falafel, Iran.
Shawarma.
Yeah.
Shawarma.
So what's going on in Iran is very interesting. I just posted a an article or an essay on Ace of Spades and at Cut Jib Newsletter about the evolution of warfare and how the technology has improved to the point where we can actually decapitate our enemies. And I think it's a fascinating revolution. I think it probably is a revolution in warfare. Whether it's going to pay off in Iran is, who knows, but it certainly can't hurt. It seems like we are conducting the war effectively. We're minimizing our own casualties. Israel and the United States are working together very, very well. Although, as Sefton pointed out right just before we started recording, Israel hit a big, I think it was a gas field. And that was puzzling. I'm not 100% sure of the rationale, and I'm not really thrilled by it. Sefton, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, for me, it's look, war is war. You go after your enemies, and if punishing, if crippling their economy and making, unfortunately, having to make the populace suffer, I don't mean by killing them, but by messing up their oil. And let's face it, Iran sustains itself with oil money by selling it to mostly to the red Chinese and every other hideous nation on the planet. And by crippling that, it will just hopefully make the government topple that much faster and give the people the incentive to get rid of the mullahs, because we don't want to put our boots on the ground. And from what I understand, the gas field is also co-operated by Qatar, which is
Oh, gee. I feel better about
supposed
it already.
an alleged ally of the US, only
Yeah.
because we have military bases there. But Qatar is also very, well-dressed people, but they're Islamic barbarians from the Dark Ages, and that's basically it. Hence, Tucker Carlson loves them. So there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is kind of a puzzler, and Donald Trump has told the Israel is kind of peeved at the Israelis for doing that. I guess maybe because it alienates the Europeans, it alienates others, but again, war is war. If you're there to punish your enemies and to decapitate them and change the government, then look, by every means necessary.
Yeah, you've got a point. But I think Israel has to be perhaps more aware of the geopolitical considerations. And that's tough. It's a tiny little country. They're besieged and have been since their founding, even before their founding. And I understand their rationale, but again, the United States
And the wider
is
world
the
hates them,
only
but still,
player.
yeah.
So they look, I don't know enough about it, but I'm puzzled, let's put it that way. But speaking of Europe, sorry folks, I know this is a G-rated podcast, but fuck Europe. The fact is that we are protecting their oil, their petroleum supplies, and they're saying, well, we don't want to play in that sandbox, so we're just going to enjoy our welfare states and watch the United States spend its treasure protecting us once again. I hope that in the aftermath of this Iran war, The United States puts into play the idea of withdrawing from NATO. If Europe does not want to help us protect them, then why should we bother?
Bingo. And in the last few days, I have seen a lot of articles in the conservative blogosphere about rumblings that America indeed is really, and Donald Trump is really ready to pull the plug and get the hell out of NATO. And I would say, absolutely, it is high time. And as far as Europe goes, yeah, what are we protecting them from? Themselves? They're importing. They're literally much of Western Europe is becoming Islamized as we speak, as we have said many times on this podcast. So, dear Lord, I mean, what is the damn point?
I don't know. I simply don't know. You know, I see these fits and starts of a nationalistic furor in the United Kingdom and in France and and actually Italy too is probably more significant. But I think that's shoveling shit against the tide. I was much more sanguine about it. I was much more optimistic about it rather just a few years ago. But now I'm not sure that that either the United Kingdom or France will survive.
Yeah, so I think the demographic and the historic tide has turned, and I think it is shoveling shit against the tide, as you say, and tilting against the windmill. And so there you go.
The one advantage,
Terrible.
though, is that if you look at it from a geopolitical standpoint, France and the United Kingdom have not been great allies for a very, very long time. So we are not losing a significant amount. We're not losing vital air bases. Listen, we can. They've already denied us overflight during the Iran war. So, what are they doing for us? We're spending tens of billions of dollars on our air bases and military bases, actually, of all kind, in Europe. And we're getting very, very little for it. So, maybe move to Poland, build massive American air bases and
Exactly.
spend many billions of American dollars in Poland and Hungary and who knows, maybe we're gonna create some new friends in the Middle East. That would be interesting. So.
That would be very, very interesting. And of course, the latest we glossed over, there was a big blow up with Spain because the Spanish refused to let us use our bases there as air bases from which to stage air attacks on. And well, Spain is. That's on its way to becoming Al-Andalus one more time, my friends. The Moors will conquer Spain one more time. Oh well,
Without a shot being fired.
without a shot being fired, and there you
Yeah.
go.
So let's move to the United States.
Yes,
If
we're out.
So the 93rd concatenation of the SAVE Act. I don't know what folks. If you're looking to me for analysis, I have no idea. I don't know what's going on. I think it's vital that the Republican majority, the Republican majority in Congress passes the SAVE Act. I think that it is vital for the future prospects of our country. And the fact that these scumbags, these Republican senators, are refusing to do their jobs and ignoring a huge majority in the country that want this is telling. Whose
Yep.
bidding
Thank
they
you,
are doing, I
John
simply
Thune.
don't know, but it's disgusting to me.
It is absolutely. But the usual suspects, of course, John Thune, who is the heir apparent to Mitch McYurtle, and of course, Murkowski and Collins, and all of these people are just, it's how you could be against a bill just on the surface of it that says that we will not, that voting, if you, non-citizens are not allowed to vote, which should be automatic everywhere you go. I mean, but it isn't that
Well,
we
it is
have to even,
automatic in most countries on Earth.
right? The fact that we have to pass a law that should be like not only a law that should have been a law ages ago in common sense should be, but of course the Democrats cannot exist without stealing elections. And a big part of that is by having dead people vote multiple times and illegal alien foreigners vote multiple times. And so that is why they are against it. Anyone who is against this is is a crook and a thief and a bastard.
I,
Period. End of
you're
story.
you're absolutely right. By the way, you mentioned Thune and Murkowski and Collins, you know, the usual suspects, but Tillis didn't even bother to show up for one of the votes.
Oh my God.
I was like, you know, come on. This is pathetic. It really is. These people are disgust. Well, you just said it. I'm not gonna beat this one to death. Well, I already did. But it's pathetic. Folks, we need to vote these people out. And if voting them out means that we lose the majority, that's fine. Because the majority is doing nothing for us now.
Bingo, exactly. What's the point of having a
Yeah.
majority if they're
Get rid
not
of
going
them.
to advance the ball? Okay, I get it. You hate Donald Trump. But
Yeah.
dear Lord in heaven, this is common sense. This is common sense. So there's got to be something else at play here. It can't be just you don't like Donald Trump. It's just absolute graft and thievery,
It
period, end of
is.
story.
Well, speaking of graft and thievery, let's segue to New York City, where the mayor, the Islamist communist scumbag mayor, spoke at a St.
Islamianism.
Patrick's Day celebration. And instead of making it a happy and drunken day, he decided to turn it into a polemic about Israel and genocide and how the Palestinians and the Irish are simpatico, which is total shit, by the way, because the Irish were just loved what the new Israeli country was doing to Great Britain, because of course Ireland and Great Britain are not fast friends, and there was a huge amount of support from Ireland and, by the way, American Irish, for the efforts of the Jews in and then Palestine to recreate their own country.
And by the way, when CBD, when you say the word Palestine, it doesn't mean this was what the label of the land was. There
Yes.
is no such thing, but be
Yeah,
that as it may, just to clarify.
Palestinians were created by the Russians in 1963 or four.
Yep, in the
It's,
six 1960 in the conference room in the Lubyanka, yep.
yeah. Yeah. You know, my mother was Israeli, and she, I have some old documents, and it talks about Palestine, you know, the British Mandate of Palestine. There's nothing, and she was obviously she was a Jew, so you know, there was nothing special about that word. But anyway, so Mamdani is, you know, he's reverting to his mean, which is you know, anti-colonialist, anti-American, anti-free markets, anti-traditional culture, anti-Christian. You know, these are part and parcel of the this disgusting confluence of Islam and the left in the United States. How that's going to go, I don't know, but it does not bode well for this country. Now, the good thing is that Mamdani is a fucking incompetent. He can't run a goddamn city, so hopefully the people of New York will in 4 years get rid of him and bring in a slightly less Maoist mayor and a slightly less Islamic mayor.
Yeah.
But you know, Sefton,
Unfortunately, as you.
you know New York better than I. Do you think he's going to rerun for re-election? And if so, will he win?
Well, he'll run for re-election, and by the virtue of the fact that he's got the seat, you know, that
Yeah.
unless he does something that would absolutely forget about the electorate, because they're zombies anyway, they'll vote Democrat regardless. Unless he does something that pisses off the powers, which the powers are the city council, which is hardcore Marxist. And unfortunately, aside from being Islamic, he's also a Marxist. He's an Islamianist. So he'd have to do something spectacularly that would denude them of their power or piss them off in such a way that they would want to get rid of him and replace him with whoever they would replace him with. I don't know. So it's anyone's guess, because the real power brokers in that city is the city council. And
Yeah.
so whatever, he somehow Mamdani conned his way into the top slot and won it, and there it is. Or they stole it for him, and that was that. So we'll see. Hopefully he does something that really pisses everybody off, and there's no way that they can have him as the standard bearer.
Yeah, his
We'll
wife's a
see.
real charmer too. I mean,
Oh God.
she's gung-ho for Hamas. I mean, she's not just a, you know, a closet terrorist. She's out and proud.
Yeah, there was an article in the Free Beacon that I linked to this morning in the report where, I mean, her social media history going way, way back, literally cheering for hijackers and butchers. And I mean, this goes back maybe 20 years, even before there was such a thing, maybe as social media, unless it's going Facebook. But even before then, yeah,
And you
she
wonder
literally the
where he
worst.
got some of his money. I don't wonder. I know where he got some of his money. Mamdani was
Exactly.
obviously funded at least in part by the Islamist movement in the United States. Where they get their money, it starts with a Q, Qatar. So,
Hello. And so Israel blowing up a gas field, that doesn't necessarily piss me off.
yeah. Again,
Sorry.
getting back to that briefly. Strategically, it's probably a good thing. Tactically, maybe not. Who knows? But
Exactly.
anyway,
Right.
so
So it's just.
what else is going on in the world? Anything happy?
Anything happy in the world? It's I don't. Well, spring is coming, and that's tomorrow, as we mentioned that. So that's always nice. And I mean, nothing. Everything is misery and destruction, and we're whatever. We're Barry Maguire's Eve of Destruction. Here we are,
Right.
whatever it is. 58 years later. For those of you old enough to remember that song,
Oh
I
yeah.
won't.
It's a good song, actually.
It's quite good.
Yeah. So ICE is building a facility in Georgia, and I don't know where. It's a small city. And the residents have gotten the city to turn off the water to this ICE detention center that's being built because they don't want it to stress their infrastructure, which I think is interesting. And that does not make me happy because apparently that area voted Republican. And I think that is a signal that the incessant, maniacal media hammering on ICE has taken hold even in the brains of the Republicans in Georgia. Whether that's just a, not in my backyard reaction to this, or whether it is something more significant, I don't know, but
Well, there was
it's
supposedly a,
concerning.
yeah, I mean, there was, I forgot what else. There was supposed to be, I forgot where this was. This goes back a year or so, maybe a couple of years ago, some sort of training facility for, I don't know if it was for ICE or for FBI or for, wasn't military, but it was some security agency was being constructed, or and the Antifans and all the others got into a snit and protested it and really were almost acting out violently against it and got it shut down. I don't know if that was in the Pacific Northwest or if that was also in Georgia. I'd have to look that up and I can't really remember the specifics and I apologize, but man, once it's just unfortunate that when they start screaming and shouting and tossing Molotov cocktails, the GOP puts its head between its legs and tucks tail instead of, declaring war.
Yeah.
So, but I did, it's a shame.
As I just pulled up an article about this, the city is called Social Circle. And they actually do have some reasonable points, assuming that the AP feed is even remotely correct.
It's the AP.
It looks like all they're concerned about is their sewage treatment plant being over capacity because of this facility. And their water demands, exceeding water supply. That's reasonable. I hope that the federal government can address these issues and we can get this place built.
I
So,
mean, how many people are they looking on housing? Like a
a lot.
300,000?
Yeah, my
I
first
mean,
the first article I read said 1500, but the one I'm looking at right now, it's more than that. And it's a small municipality. It's only 5,000 people in the town.
oh, so
So,
yeah, so if the
yeah.
capacity exceeds the population of the town, yeah, I guess, they might have a point.
Yeah, this well, we'll see. Hopefully this is simply a not in my backyard infrastructure issue, in which case I withdraw my criticism of the people of Georgia. I wasn't really criticizing the people of Georgia, but anyway. So what else? Anything
Yes.
happy? Come on, you got to give me something happy.
Something happy. Mine. God, let me see. I don't know. My God, I can't really think of anything happy. Honestly, It's I mean, not that I mean, I know we try to be, we can't be sunshine and lollipops, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's
Well, here's something good.
yes.
A Texas judge named Raquel West sentenced a gentleman named Caden Fontanet and his two accomplices to 25 years in prison for a convenience store robbery. And they were, they're pistol whipping people and putting guns in
Charming.
people's faces and so on. They're young thugs and they're going to jail for a very, very long time, hopefully. We'll see. But that's the kind of stuff that we need in this country more and more and more. And the the oh, something? Here's a good point. What Roberts has complained about how people are becoming more and more critical of our justice system and judges. Well, this is an example of one of the few things that we see in the media about something good happening. Far, far, far too often, we hear about judges overstepping their authority, doing unbelievably stupid stuff that is contrary to the wishes of the legislatures that pass the laws and the people who elect the legislatures. But this is a nice one. Oh, by the way, one of the gentlemen was violent behind bars too, which is nice. Anyway.
Yes.
So
Well, on that note,
here's a happy, that's a happy story.
right. Well, I'll say this. Maybe this is a happy story, if you call it as such. Going forward, I will try, before we take to the airwaves, try to find a happy story so that we can include that in each podcast.
We should do that. I think that's important.
Why not?
Yeah. Anyway, folks, both Sefton and I have places to go, things to do, coffee to drink, all that neat stuff. So we are going to sign off just a bit early. But thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you for hitting our tip jar. Thank you for commenting both at Ace of Spades and at Cut Chip Newsletter. And I look forward to chatting with you next week. Sefton, take it away.
Ditto, my friend. God bless all of you for all of your wonderful support and thoughts and wishes and participating. And without you, this none of this would be possible. And we really mean that. So God bless you all, and we will see you on the next one, right here on the Cut Jib Newsletter, podcasting network around the world, across the nation, and up your street. And with some good news next week too, I hope.
Thanks for listening, folks.